more bodies are recovered from Air France 447. A toxicology test yields startling data on a dead pilot. And the aviation recession hits Little Rock. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 8, 2009. Brazilian officials reported over the weekend that the search for Air France Flight 447 has now yielded 17 bodies, a seat with a serial number matching the missing plane, and a briefcase containing a ticket for the flight. The discoveries followed an initial disappointment after some metal debris hauled in for analysis last week turned out not to be part of the missing Airbus A330. The U.S. Navy has sent sophisticated underwater listening equipment to aid in the search for the plane's cockpit voice and data recorders. The plane has now been missing just over a week and is believed to be in water as deep as 20,000 feet in the Atlantic Ocean. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a factual report in the case of a neurosurgeon pilot who died in the crash of a Cessna 172S last August 8th. The doctor was a student pilot, had received his first night cross-country dual instruction the night before the accident, and was not authorized by his instructor to make that 160-mile nighttime flight from Palo Alto, California to Reno, Nevada. The pilot had been using flight following, but radar and radio contact were lost a few miles out of Reno. The wreckage of the plane was located after a call reporting reception of the ELT signal came into local authorities. The NTSB could not find any problem with the plane, but investigators did find a number of things wrong with the pilot. Aside from the unauthorized, long night cross-country without an instructor sign-off, toxicology tests of the pilot's blood, urine, and liver found metabolic byproducts of cocaine, buprenorphine, a drug approved for treatment of opiate addiction, the antidepressant fluoxetine, the generic term for Prozac, lamotrigine, used to treat patients with mood or psychiatric disorders, quetiapine, an oral antipsychotic used to treat bipolar disorders and schizophrenia, and oxymetazoline, a nasal decongestant which may produce paranoid psychosis if abused. When he applied for his third medical in December of 2007, the pilot denied any mental disorders of any sort and the use of any medications. But in April last year, the California Medical Board accused the doctor of a 10-year history of abuse of drugs and alcohol and treatment through six different addiction programs in that time. The pilot's wife told investigators he was being treated for addiction, anxiety, and depression at the time of the accident. The NTSB's full causal report is expected late this year. Dassault Falcon has announced the layoff of 111 workers from its Little Rock Completion Center. Another 42 workers have taken advantage of an early out program. The center's remaining workforce will total 2,100, or about the same level as in early 2008. CEO John Rosenvallen commented, quote, "While we recognize the unfortunate impact this decision has on our employees and their families, we must face the reality of today's market conditions and the significant challenges they pose to our industry," unquote. Little Rock is the main completion center for all Falcon jets worldwide, and the company-owned service center dedicated to Falcon customers. It's not clear exactly how the layoffs and continued down market will affect previously announced plans to expand the center. Up next on ANN, there are over 100 Young Eagles events this Saturday. NASA tests an alternative cockpit escape technology, and you're invited to tour Zenith Aircraft. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612 847-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 8th. I'm Paul Plack. The Experimental Aircraft Association's 16th annual Young Eagles Day is coming up this Saturday, the 13th. The program operates year-round and has already given almost 1.5 million kids between the ages of 8 and 17 their first flights in general aviation aircraft. But on Young Eagles Day, there's an emphasis on the program. There are more than 125 events planned worldwide this Saturday. You can find out more at youngeagles.org. This year, for the first time, all the kids participating will be given a custom Young Eagles logbook and free access to Sporty's complete pilot training course. Each of the thousands of flights will also be entered in the world's largest logbook, which is on permanent display at the EAA Air Venture Museum in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and on the web. EAA says 42,000 of its member pilots and 50,000 ground volunteers participate in Young Eagles. A dramatic, full-scale, in-flight test awaits those with binoculars and steady hands 1 week from today along the Virginia coast. NASA plans to test a system for safely propelling crews away from spacecraft during aborted launches or during climb on Wallops Island next Monday between 5:45 and 8:15 a.m. The MLAS, which is short for Max Launch Abort System, has been developed as an alternative concept to the launch abort system chosen for NASA's Orion crew capsule. The 33-foot-tall MLAS vehicle will be launched to an altitude of about 1 mile to simulate an emergency on the launch pad. A full-scale mock-up of the crew module will separate from the launch vehicle and parachute into the Atlantic Ocean. If you'll be in or near Missouri this month, or could be, mark your calendar for Zenith Aircraft Company's Spring into Summer Builder Fly-In Gathering on Saturday, June 27th. The factory event is open to anyone interested in flying, but is focused on the needs of builders and owners of Zenith aircraft kit planes. The Zenith factory is located at Mexico Memorial Airport in Mexico, Missouri. The agenda includes a workshop and barbecue lunch. Owners of completed Zenith models are encouraged to fly in, display their finished products to fellow builders, and get a factory tour. On the 2 days prior to the fly-in, Zenith is hosting a factory workshop where participants gain hands-on kit aircraft building experience. Prior registration is required to attend that workshop. Still ahead, Cirrus may appeal a lawsuit award. Rolls-Royce opens a new facility in the U.S. And new limits on TSA abuse win friends in aviation. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 8th. I'm Paul Plack. Cirrus Aircraft VP Todd Simmons says the company is considering an appeal of a verdict which holds the company and the University of North Dakota largely at fault for an accident in which a private pilot in a new SR-22 apparently got disoriented after flying into IMC. The resulting crash into a densely wooded area killed the pilot and his passenger on January 18, 2003. The NTSB reported the pilot held a private ASEL certificate, had logged 248 total hours, and 57 hours of instrument time. He had owned the SR-22 for 6 weeks, in which he'd received VFR-only training from the manufacturer with a high-performance endorsement, with only 0.3 hours of actual instrument training in type. Investigators learned the Grand Rapids Itasca County Airport was reporting marginal VFR at 6:30 a.m. local time when the pilot took off. A weather briefer told him conditions would be marginal. He responded that he was, quote, hoping to slide underneath it and then climb out, unquote. He survived only 8 minutes after takeoff. Minnesota Public Radio reports the jury placed 75% of the blame on Cirrus and UND for inadequate training after attorney Phil Seif, representing the family of passenger James Kosak, specifically attacked a lack of risk management training in type for the pilot. In the end, the Kosak family was awarded $7.4 million, and the family of pilot Gary Prokop got $9 million. The final determination of probable cause from the NTSB read as follows, quote, spatial disorientation experienced by the pilot due to a lack of visual references and a failure to maintain altitude. Contributing factors were the pilot's improper decision to attempt flight into marginal VFR conditions, his inadvertent flight into instrument meteorological conditions, the low lighting condition, and the trees, unquote. Rolls-Royce Thursday formally opened for business at its new North American headquarters for on-wing care at Indianapolis International Airport in Indiana. The 14,000-square-foot hangar and 11,000-square-foot shop offer line maintenance and full support for all Rolls-Royce corporate and regional aircraft engines. It'll also service the Trent series engine, including the Trent 1000 on the Boeing 787. Florida Congressman John Mica and three colleagues are being praised by aviation advocacy groups for their amendment to the bill that reauthorizes the Transportation Security Administration. That amendment, sponsored by Mica and fellow Republicans Sam Graves of Missouri, Vernon Ellers of Michigan, and Tom Petri of Wisconsin, would further study general aviation security rules at airports and require any security directive imposed by the TSA to be subject to federal rulemaking once it's been in effect for more than 180 days. That amendment seems aimed squarely at what's known colloquially as Directive 8G, which requires background checks and security badges for general aviation pilots needing access to the ramps at commercial airports. The clumsy, expensive requirement was imposed despite a lack of any evidence it was needed or that it improved security. National Air Transportation Association President James Coyne welcomed the amendment as, quote, intended to balance risk mitigation, industry impact, and appropriate public review after a recent SD was issued by the TSA, even though the TSA concluded that little evidence existed requiring immediate attention on general aviation, unquote. The Alliance for Aviation Across America, which began as an anti-user fee coalition spearheaded by AOPA, but which now brings its thousands of members together on a variety of GA issues, issued a statement applauding the amendment. Quote, this amendment will allow the TSA to respond to imminent threats while providing the flexibility to develop effective policies and a public review process. We look forward to continuing to work with the TSA and Congress to ensure that we're protecting our nation against security threats, unquote. The idea still has to survive passage in the U.S. Senate, the reconciliation process between the two resulting bills, and the president's signature or a veto override before it takes effect. We will be watching. It's hard to believe an idea this good comes from the same Congressman Mica who called the declutter function on air traffic control screens dumbing down the radar during hearings following the miracle on the Hudson. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly conversation with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, Bob comments on the latest fallout from Continental Connections Flight 3407. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.